The one we have been waiting for has come. All through Advent, we have been preparing, looking ahead with hopeful anticipation, intentional preparation for when the Messiah would come. And we have taken steps in this journey toward Jesus, steps of faith, steps toward justice, steps through the ups and downs of life, yet still with joy, steps of repentance, all to prepare for the coming Christ. And this journey has brought us to tonight, when we join with the angels in declaring, a Savior has been born to you, and to you. Good evening. My name is Stephanie. I'm the pastor here at Olivet. It is such a joy to welcome you all to celebrate that the Lord has come. In the Gospel of Luke, we read that Mary and Joseph were also on a journey as they traveled from the town they resided in Nazareth, to travel to Bethlehem. Something every 9-month pregnant woman loves to do is take a nice, long 7-day journey, likely on a donkey, right when you're full term and about to give birth. They love that. And yet to Bethlehem they went, to their hometown to register during the census. Because Bethlehem would have been busy during this time of the census, private rooms would not have been available in inns, in homes, wherever. Most likely, Mary and Joseph were staying in a large home of a family member, not necessarily the inn you often hear told in the Christmas story. And they would have been staying in a guest room that likely would have been occupied by a lot of other people. Yet when the time came to give birth, Mary and Joseph would have withdrawn to the stable portion at the back of the house or in the lower levels of the home, seeking a private place for what was unfolding. And it was in these conditions that the Messiah was born. Mary wrapped her firstborn son in cloths, as was the custom, strips of cloth to keep the body straight and to ensure proper growth, and she laid him in a soft, warm place, the place that was available to her, the feeding trough that would have divided the living areas of the animals, the pen, from the living areas of the humans in this one place that they shared together, and it would have looked like kind of a half wall in a home. That is what it was, a feeding trough, a manger. And there is where she laid the Messiah, a feeding trough converted into a crib. How bare, how meager, how humble. Even Jesus' cousin, John, had a more exciting birth. There was a miracle at his birth. His dad's speech was restored and then burst into a glorious song, but not so at Jesus' birth. Yet Jesus' birth reads truly very calm, very humble, truly unexpected for one such as he. Philippians 2 tells us, Jesus Christ, who is God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing, and he humbled himself. A humbler beginning one could not find. From the beginnings of Jesus' life, Jesus aligned himself with the poor and marginalized in our world. He didn't enter with great fanfare or with the trappings due his stature of God or deity, but to a humble young woman he was born, among animals, and in the circumstances that would align him with those he would most desire to serve. The journey that we celebrate at Christmas is God coming to us, Emmanuel, God with us. And in his coming to us, he truly gets down into the muck and the mire. He shows us that he is not far removed from who we are. He is with us in our human experiences, in our sufferings, in our grief. And into those experiences, Christ is coming still. As we continue to read the story of Christ's birth in the Gospel of Luke, we do see a bit of fanfare, but again, in unexpected and really humble ways. It was customary in the Roman Empire for poets and the like to declare peace and prosperity at the birth of one who was to become emperor. Following a similar pattern, yet from a very different source, comes the announcement of joy and peace at the birth of Jesus, as angels declare peace on earth to lowly shepherds. And yet again, we have a distinct difference between Jesus and the rulers of the world. The announcements of Jesus' birth has a specific audience, the poor, the lowly, a group of shepherds in a field, and their sheep. And yet, this is glorious fanfare, angels singing glory to God in the highest, a message of great joy. Though obviously somewhat a terrifying experience for the shepherds, because the angels are quick to tell them to not be afraid. I would imagine an entire company of angels appearing in a field in front of the shepherds where they were keeping their sheep would have been the most unusual and terrifying experience these shepherds ever had. And these were people who were used to confronting dangerous predators as they were defending their sheep from lions and tigers and bears. Oh my. There are four times throughout the Christmas story that we hear, "Do not be afraid." To Zechariah, when he hears of the upcoming birth of his son, John the Baptist, sorry. To Mary, when an angel told her that she was going to bear the Savior of the world, "Do not be afraid." To Joseph, when he considered divorcing Mary, when he found out that she was pregnant and not by him, "Do not be afraid." And then now to the shepherds. It would seem that the inbreaking of God into seemingly mundane moments of our lives might unnerve us. We might need to be reminded, like Mary, Joseph, and the shepherds, "Do not be afraid." You'll notice that the angels are sure to point out that this message is good news. It is of great joy, and it is for all people, not for a select few people, but for everyone. And then they sing, "Glory to God in highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." Now, this is a situation where translation choices, as well as our punctuation and the way we read it, our emphasis is how we read a phrase, really makes a difference in how we interpret this. Because the angels are trying to tell the shepherds that the Prince of Peace has arrived, the one who will bring peace to all the earth. And this earth is filled with people, and he loves every single one of them. This message of good news and great joy is for all people. And off the shepherds go to Bethlehem to find the one whom the angels sing about. And lying in a manger in that feeding trough that we talked about, such humble beginnings, surrounded by Mary and Joseph, they find the child, the Messiah, the Lord, the Savior. The shepherds tell Mary and Joseph and everyone around who would listen, because there were sure to be other people around in that very, very busy home. They told everyone who this child was, and all who heard it were amazed. The Messiah has come. This caused the shepherds to, in turn, praise and glorify God for all that they had heard and seen. The story of Jesus' birth is beautiful. It's miraculous. It also sets the stage for what Jesus' life and ministry would be like, that he would be with us, that he would care for the least among us, that he would draw people together, and that he would draw people to worship God. The story of Jesus' birth reminds us that he is here among us now, that the kingdom of God has drawn near, and that God is at work in the midst of things now. When we come together tonight to celebrate Jesus' birth, we celebrate that he is Emmanuel, God with us. He was Emmanuel then, and he continues to be Emmanuel now. And he will continue to be Emmanuel, God with us, as we need him to be. So much of the Christmas story is God entering into the world and meeting people exactly as it is, using the circumstances of life for his purposes, entering into the realities where people are, and just making amazing things happen. A government census draws Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem, fulfilling the prophecy of where the Messiah should be born, God using the government to fulfill his purposes. The first human messengers of the Messiah are shepherds, aligning the Messiah with the lowly and the least of these, using people's jobs to align with God's purposes. Jesus, being born in a stable, again demonstrates Christ's humility and entering into humanity in a very real and relatable way, using the circumstances that Mary and Joseph find themselves in for God's purposes. It is into our very lives, the places we need him most, into our day-to-day lives, that God shows up, Emmanuel, God with us. And he says, "Do not be afraid." I pray that Jesus, Emmanuel, continues to be with you. May he be present and a comfort to you and a great joy. I pray that Jesus, Emmanuel, may form us and mold us to be more like him, to be kind and humble and loving as we seek to be formed more and more like Christ. And may we not be afraid, but may we be open to him in the mundane circumstances, in our day-to-day lives, wherever we may be. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this miraculous story, this story that is wonderful and exciting, and shepherds and angels and so many amazing things. And yet you truly broke into day-to-day lives. You used the circumstances that people had right at their feet in amazing ways. God, help us to be open to you. Help us to see you where you are at work among us. Help us to be open to you at all times, Emmanuel. God, we thank you that you are with us. You are with us in the highs and lows of life. You are with us and at work. Even when it's hard to see at times, we know that you are at work. God, will you open our eyes to see you at work in the world around us? Will you help us to be formed more and more in the likeness of your Son, who is humble, loving, and kind? God, we thank you that you did not stay far away, but that you chose to come, and that you are with us still, that you are our Emmanuel, God with us. And for this and so much more, we praise you and thank you. In your name we pray. Amen.